We're in the book of Ruth, chapter 2. Remember the story of Ruth. It actually took place during the time of the judges, where the people were not following the Lord, but they were doing things their own way. But during that time, we mentioned this last time, that there were some people that were open to the Lord working in their life. And the encouraging thing for us is that no matter how bad things get, the Lord is always wanting to work in the lives of those who are open to Him. So this was mentioned again before we talked about this, but no matter how wicked the world gets, the Lord is still willing to work in our lives if we're open to Him. So that's a real encouragement. Let's get into chapter 2 in verse 1 here. It says, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, which is Naomi's husband, her husband who passed away. His name was Boaz. So this relative who's back in the area as Ruth has come back home again to her homeland, as Naomi's come back to her homeland here in Bethlehem, her husband's family here had this man in it named Boaz. So the Lord brings his name up for us here. Now, last time we saw that Naomi's husband made the bad decision to leave Bethlehem instead of staying there, you know, and that was during the time of the famine, and he went and took his family to the place called Moab. So actually, there were two bad decisions there. The one bad decision was to leave Bethlehem, which he wasn't supposed to do. That was the land God gave to his people, and they were supposed to stay there. And the other bad decision was to go to Moab, which was another no-no. So there were two bad decisions back to back, and it cost them. They really had some problems in their life because of that. But notice here that we find that some people stayed in Bethlehem even though there was a famine going on. And as we see, we come back into the picture here, we see that these people were still doing okay. You know, and as a matter of fact, they were doing quite well. I mean, you look at Boaz here. He is one of them who stayed in Bethlehem. He didn't leave during the famine. And the Lord blessed him tremendously. We find here that he's a man of great wealth. Some translations have that he's a man of great valor here. So he was an outstanding citizen in their culture. And the Lord had really blessed him. And we find that later on that he was a guy who really followed the Lord. So I think the Lord is showing us here that if we trust him through the famines in life, that he will prove to us that he's very capable of taking care of us and even blessing us further than maybe we could even imagine. I remember Naomi when she said she came back empty when she came back to the land, but here we've got Boaz who stayed there, and you would consider him very full. The Lord has taken very good care of him. He's a businessman at this point, and he's got people working under him, and he's doing very well. He didn't leave the land during the famine, so we see the Lord really took care of his people. So the point is that the Lord always takes care of his folks when they trust him. And that's the key there. On the other hand, you know, we have to be careful about not making bad choices just because we're facing tough times. You know, we have that tendency to maybe look at our circumstances and forget that we have a God who's greater than our circumstances. And we let the circumstances dictate what we should do rather than going to God and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you tell me? And it's tough sometimes, but you know, hardly ever is it easy to do the right thing, right? In this world that's wicked and going the opposite way of the Lord, it's always going to be difficult and a challenge to really do the right thing. So now this Boaz that we see here, he's going to be a very special person in the life of Ruth. And in the future, we find out he's going to be pretty special in the life of King David, and even eventually in the line of the Messiah who's coming, Jesus, because the Lord's going to use Boaz's life, you know, to make him a very important figure in the line of the Messiah. He will see even more of that down the road, but he was one God was going to work through to bring the Messiah in, into the world. Right here, though, we see the Lord is kind of introducing us to this guy named Boaz, because he's going to play a really big part in the life of Ruth in our story. And this is where it all begins, as we see this taking place here. So, and as we go on to verse 2, so Ruth the Moabitess, notice that name is tagged on her, she's the Moabitess, she said to Naomi, which is her mother-in-law, she said, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I might find favor. And she said to her, so Naomi responds to her, go, my daughter. And you know, if you read different commentators and see different people's views on this, some people kind of get on Naomi because both of them are a widow at this point. Remember, they both have lost their husband. Naomi lost her husband, Elimelech, and then we find that Ruth lost her husband back in the land of Moab. So they're both widows. And we're going to see that they both have opportunity to go out in the fields and glean from the grain that's here. But some people say, well, Naomi, why didn't you go too? Why did Ruth go by herself? And I understand where they're seeing that, but I read it different right here. If you notice what Ruth says to Naomi, she said, please let me go, you know, to the field and glean heads of grain. So I think she is saying, I know you're able to and you could go, but please let me do this for you. And knowing Ruth, as we see her character later on, to me, that sounds a lot more like her. You know, I mean, yeah, some people have gotten on Naomi and said, why didn't Naomi go? And then they said, well, some people might say, well, she was older. But wait a minute, she just walked all the way from Moab, you know, so she wasn't that bad off. I mean, physically, she's doing okay. I believe it was on Ruth here that said, please let me go. It's like, you've been through a lot. You've done a lot. And at this point, remember, Naomi's pretty depressed. So I think Ruth was saying, let me do this. You stay here, you know. And we see the response. It almost, to me, it sounds reluctant. Maybe I'm reading into this some, but Naomi just said to her, go, my daughter. So I see the affection there of like, okay, go ahead, you know. And she calls her daughter. So there's a kindness there as well. Now, the Lord set up a system here to take care of the poor people, and that's kind of what we're going to see taking place. So the poor people who lived in the land, in Leviticus 19, God had told them, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, things that are left behind. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. So that's what the Lord told them back in Leviticus 19. So they were supposed to reap basically the middle of their fields, maybe like in a circular fashion, but then they were supposed to leave the corners alone. And that was going to be there for the people who were very needy and who needed help. And that way the poor could come through after the people went through that were working the fields, and they could gather what had been left in the corners. So God had this amazing plan, and it was supposed to teach the farmers to have compassion on the poor and the foreigner. And at the same time, the poor and the foreigner could actively go out and gather the food that they needed to survive. And as someone said, this way the poor could help provide for their own needs with dignity. So this way it doesn't just come to them, but they had to go get it. You know, and I see this as an amazing plan the Lord had. He even said in Deuteronomy 24 that if you drop the sheaf in the field, let's say you're working the fields, and as you're going along, you get maybe too many bundles in your hand or something, and you drop a sheaf there, even after it's all been wrapped up and everything, you weren't supposed to go back and get it. You were just supposed to let it lie, you know. And I see that as kind of the sovereignty of the Lord, that maybe he was hoping you or wanting you to drop that right there because there were people who needed that, you know. So the Lord had that built into their system. And they're supposed to leave it, as he says there in Deuteronomy 24, supposed to leave it for the stranger, which would be the foreigner, for the fatherless and the widow. So God cared about those folks, and he made provision for them in their system. So he said, so that the Lord their God could bless them in all the work of their hands. That was what the Lord had put on there kind of as a promise, that if you guys do this stuff, it said there in Deuteronomy 24, then I will be able to bless you in all the work of your hands. So interesting, do you notice the element of faith in those commands? You know, the Lord was saying that I know you can make more profit if you go back and you pick up that sheaf that you dropped. I know you'd have a little bit more in your storehouse maybe, but instead, if you simply trust me in this, then I'm gonna make it up to you. I'm gonna bless you in all the work of your hands, even in the areas that have nothing to do with the sheaf gathering. So the question was, were they going to trust God? You know, we'll see in our story later as we go on that Boaz had a real deep faith. He really trusted in the Lord. And that's part of the beautiful part of this story that we're going to see here. And we're going to look at Ruth too here, because you notice that she took the initiative, you know, to want to go out and provide for her mother-in-law, whom she loved. You know, I find it interesting that she was called here again, Ruth the Moabitess. You know, that's her name tag that she's got on. And it's kind of a reminder that she was not of the children of Israel. And yet, even though she was an outsider, she was willing to trust God by going out to glean in the fields to support her and Naomi, because God said they should do that. And the Lord does this from time to time, I think. He wakes us up and trying to wake his children up here as well. You know, I mean, it kind of makes things look bad when most of the time, you know, they're doing things their own way instead of following God's way. And here comes this outsider who steps up and just does things God's way and trusts him, you know. It's a little embarrassing. And I noticed that I think the Lord rattles our cages sometimes the same way. We'll have a lost person, you know, that shows up in our life, or even worse yet, maybe somebody from the cults, and they come in our life, and here they're living a better moral life than we are. Maybe they're helping others, and they're showing more compassion for the needy, and it's very convicting. But I think the Lord lets us see those things so we wake up too, and, you know, we kind of stop taking our Christian walk for granted. And we say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've been slacking here. I need to get back and do the work you've called me to do. I need to have your compassion on people. I need to have your love for people. And by the way, this picture of Ruth we see here, it also shows us how hard of a worker she was, you know. We'll see that as we get further in the passage. And the interesting thing is, she had a good attitude about it. You know, these qualities together are pretty hard to find these days. You know, Ruth was a remarkable woman. And in the passage here where Ruth says it, it mentions here in this statement in verse 2, she says, let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor. And I think the New Living Translation actually makes that passage easier to understand. It says it this way, let me go out into the harvest fields to pick up the stalks of grain left behind by anyone who is kind enough to let me do it. And that's what she was basically saying. Whoever shows me favor, you know, she'll say, let me go out into the field, and if I can find a place where there's someone who shows me favor and allows me to do this, that's what she wants to do. Now let's go on into verse 3. Then she left, and she went, and she gleaned in the field after the reapers. So she told Naomi she was going to do this, and then she got up and she got to work. And it says, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now, there were a lot of fields in that area that she could have gone to, but it just so happened here, it says in the New King James, that she ended up in the field that belonged to Boaz. You know, this was divine providence. You know, Ruth came out to the field because God was guiding her here. She didn't see that at the time, you know, but God brought these things together, and he did it so gently, so behind the scenes, that nobody could see it at the time that God was moving that day. He was setting things up. You know, there were no fireworks that went off to announce it. There wasn't any astonishing miracle that drew crowds from everywhere to say, what's going on in your life today, Ruth, you know? It was very subtle. The Lord's hand was invisible, you know, as it was setting things up. Ruth didn't wake up that morning and say, I'm going to find this field that belongs to the close relative of my dead father-in-law, and the close relative, he's going to have to eventually take care of me and Naomi. Now, I don't think she woke up at all that day thinking anything different, that it was just a normal day for her, you know? I don't think she had any clue that the Lord was going to use this day to change her life in a very dramatic way. And it was all the plan of God. It's really cool to see. I think that's why the Lord shows us this. You know, I think most of the time, God is working out his plan for our life in a very natural way. Things happen so subtly sometimes and so naturally that we don't even notice God's hand in the picture until later on down the road, you know, maybe when we look back over our life. And then we can see. Have you done that before? You know, haven't you had a funny coincidence happen in your life, and then later on, after some time passes, you look back and you can clearly see it was God who was at work in that situation, setting things up. You know, and it may have looked like a coincidence at the time, but in reality, there aren't any coincidences for believers. God is at work all the time in our lives. His invisible hand, it's all around us, and it's working out his will for our life. And he does it so gently and so behind the scenes sometimes that we miss it completely. You know, but don't miss this. Ruth did what she was supposed to do. I mean, she had her right to do this by the law. And I love the way it says this in verse 3. She left, and she went, and she gleaned in the field. She was following God's law when she did that. So while she was obeying the Lord, God set things up for this amazing future that was coming her way. So sometimes you and I have to just obey the Lord in what we clearly know that he said we should be doing. You know, and that's when God sets things up and he works out his plan in our life so smoothly. You know, this wouldn't have happened on that day, if you think about it, if Ruth would have said, well, I'm just going to sit at home today and I'm going to wait for God to fix my circumstances. I think she'd have been sitting there for a long, long time, and she probably would have not seen God work so powerfully in her life like he was getting to do right here. So we can't just sit around and wait for blessings to come our way. We need to follow Ruth's example of getting busy, you know, obeying the Lord, helping other people, just like she was doing for Naomi. And that's when the Lord steps in and he changes things for us. You go on to verse 4. Now, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, so these are his workers in the field, he said, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. And you look at how verse 4 starts, because here there's the Lord is bringing this meeting together of Boaz and Ruth. And it says here in verse 4, it just so happened that on that particular day, you know, behold, here's Boaz. He just happened to show up at his field at just the right time to spot Ruth. So you see again how subtle the Lord can work. He even gives us kind of a clue here, I think, because it starts out in verse 4 saying, now behold. It's kind of like, watch this. Pay attention here and look what God's doing. You know, so if we catch that subtle clue, it kind of gives us a heads up that God's doing something here. And what do you think of the greeting that Boaz gave to his workers? You know, remember, this was a time during the time of the judges, right? So not many people were living for the Lord. The large majority of them are living very selfish lives, doing what they want to do, not following what God wants them to do. And here's this guy, Boaz, a man who was openly living for the Lord, you know, even when the huge majority were doing their own thing. And I think that's why the Lord brings us into the story here of Ruth. He wants us to see that even though these times were so dark for Israel, there were still people living for the Lord. You know, that might have been, and it was a very small remnant, it was a small group, but man, they stand out. And that's the same in our times. Don't be discouraged as we see how ugly things get, how dark they're getting out there in the world around us. You live for Christ, no matter what happens. Don't be influenced by the junk that's there. And watch the Lord use the opportunities he gives you, you know, as you're letting that light shine. And notice the response that the workers gave back to him, you know, and they said, well, the Lord bless you too, brother, you know. It showed that the Lord had given him favor with his workers. You know, it appears that they really appreciated his kind words to them, and they genuinely cared about him in return too. So it's amazing what an effect we can have on people when we just lift up the Lord in our daily conversation. You know, don't let the enemy back you off on that by encouraging you not to bring up the Lord's name throughout your day in an honorable way. You know, there are some people who really need to hear that they need to hear the name of the Lord. They need to hear that lifted up in front of them, and it's definitely going to be an encouragement to them. You know, I know it really encourages me and you too, probably, when somebody comes across your path and they're talking about Jesus. You're like, oh yeah, that's good, you know. There are other people out there who need you and I to do the same thing. So don't let the enemy back you off there for fear, whatever else he tries to bring up. I'll go on to verse 5. It says, then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers. So here's his supervisor. He says, whose young woman is this? So Boaz's eyes, they fell upon Ruth. And I think he's basically asking, is she married or is she engaged to someone? Because he said, whose young woman is this, you know? I think he's asking, that's why he's saying, who does she belong to? And I think secretly he's hoping that she was available. Find out in the story that she was. So verse 6 goes on, so the servant who was in charge of the reapers, that's the supervisor, he answered and he said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. So this servant identifies who Ruth was, and we find out later on that her story was apparently well known about her leaving Moab, you know, her hometown there, in order to take care of her mother-in-law, Naomi. So I think Boaz is saying to himself at this point, oh, so this is the woman that they're talking about, and now the story's coming together for him. You know, isn't it good when there's good talk going around about people instead of bad talk? You know, there's way too much gossip that is so negative about people. You know, how about starting a chain of good gossip about people? You know, telling how they are doing what's right. That's a good thing. And I think here that the reputation that Ruth has is, her reputation has been spreading, you know, about her loyalty and the care that she was giving to Naomi. And now the fact that she was working hard in the fields was proof that the story was true. She really did care. To me, I think she was actually trying to do the work of two people. I think that's why earlier I think she was telling Naomi, basically I think she was saying, stay here, please let me go. I think she was thinking, I'll work hard enough for both of us, and I believe she did. You know, it's amazing how God set all this up, isn't it? It's just a beautiful story. Verse 7, and here's what, and she said this. So the supervisor is relating this story to Boaz, and he's telling him, well, here's what Ruth actually said when she came here in verse 7. She said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came, he said, and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. So this servant, this supervisor here, was going on to explain how Ruth was polite and humble in asking permission to work in the field. And actually, it was already her right to do this by the law of God. She had a right to do that. So that showed to me a very humble and respectful spirit within Ruth. You know, her character just keeps looking better and better the more the Lord opens up about her life, what she was like. Then the servant said how long she'd been working. Said she'd been working up till now, and he even said she took a little rest, but there's a little rest. She doesn't stop for the day. She gets right back to work. You know, it's interesting, too. Ruth may not have known that she was being watched by the supervisor, but the supervisor, he was paying pretty close attention to her, how diligently she was working. And we've got someone who watches us closely, too. Jesus is watching us. You know, and he sees us when we put out the extra effort to help others. He notices all of that. Our acts of kindness that we do for other people, they do not go unnoticed. The Lord knows. So verse 8, it says, then Boaz said to Ruth. So now, after finding out who he is, he goes up to her and he's going to speak to her. And he said, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. So the first thing you see there in verse 8, Boaz, he spoke to her first. You know, she spoke to him afterwards, but he came to her first. He started this conversation, which is going to be a relationship down the road. And Boaz here, he's kind of a picture of Christ for us. He started the conversation, he started the relationship first. And that's what Jesus did for you and me too. You know, he came to us before we were ever looking for him. You know, the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So just like Boaz here, he's wanting to provide for and protect Ruth. That's what Jesus is doing for us. He wants to provide for us and he wants to protect us. And it's interesting, like the conversation that we see Boaz have here with Ruth, we can get some interesting things from the questions that he asked. You know, he told Ruth at first, he said, listen to me. You're going to listen to what I say, right? I mean, he's asking her to pay attention. And for us, we need to listen to God too, don't we? You know, how do we listen to him? We get into his word and we hear what God has to say. And then Boaz goes on. He tells her that she doesn't need to go gleaning in some other field. You know, and that's the field. That's the same with us, you know, that Jesus, once we find him, we don't need to go gleaning in other fields. You know, we don't need to go anywhere else to find what we need in life. Jesus gives us everything we need. We looked at this Wednesday night. 2 Peter says, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. And that's in 2 Peter, the Lord tells us. And I've given you everything you need for life and even living a godly life. You have it all already in Christ by knowing Him, by walking with Him. Then Boaz, he goes on and he tells Ruth to stay close by his young woman, at the young women there by the end of that verse. And they were the ones that were doing the reaping. So he's saying, I want you to stay close to those that are doing the work. And he knows as she stays close there that she's going to get everything she needs, right? And the same thing with us. The Lord is telling us to stay close by, and we'll be taken care of too. You go on to verse 9, and Boaz is still talking to her. He said, let your eyes be on the field which they reap. Keep your eyes right there and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So he tells her a few things there. He says, I want you to keep your eyes on the field where they're reaping. And he was saying, you don't even need to think about looking anywhere else. You know, all of your needs are going to be met right here. So real encouraging words to her. Then he tells her that she's going to be protected here too. You know, he said he told his guys to leave her alone. I like what one commentator said. He said, he basically went up and said, she's mine, guys, so hands off. You know, and that could be the gist of what's coming across here. But I think he's saying too, you know, don't stop her. You know, no matter what she wants to do here, don't say, no, you've taken enough for the day. You need to stop or something. You let her keep going. And we'll see he gets in more detail on that later on. And then Boaz even tells her, you know, that if you get thirsty while you're working, he says, you know, you can come drink the stuff that's usually for the hired help. It's not for the needy. This is for the workers that the master provides for. And they said if it was a good master, he'd actually have some extra there for other people. But everything was precious in those days. You know, it wasn't like they had water fountains and stuff like that. If there was water, it had to be carried there, right? And he had to go to the well to get it. So there's a lot of work that took place. So it was very, very kind of any master who would say, you know, the workers can have it, you guys earn it. But yeah, the poor and needy, you can have some water too. So very generous heart we see. And again, that's the picture of Jesus. I know he tells us if they were thirsty, we can come to him and we can drink of the waters that truly satisfy. We can drink freely too. There's no cost for them. And then thinking even deeper about what Boaz was saying here, I think Ruth was actually hearing him say this as he's telling her, I'm going to take care of you. I think he's saying, you're not an outsider here. You know, I'm taking you in and you are fully accepted. You know, she can even have what the workers had. And she's a Moabite. Mark keeps bringing that up, that she's actually outsider like that. So what a comforting thing for Ruth to hear that you're accepted here and your needs will be taken care of, you'll be protected. You know, I was thinking, have you ever started a new job? And you know, for that first month or two, you kind of feel like the outsider because you're the new guy. You don't really know how things were, so you feel pretty awkward, you know. And you just can't wait to get past that first time period, you know, so you finally feel like you fit in and you don't feel so awkward anymore. Now, isn't that a nice feeling when you get to that point? I know that's been the way with me whenever I had started a new job. I was like, man, I can't wait to get past these first few months and I won't feel so weird, you know, that I'm trying to figure things out. So I can't imagine how it must have felt for Ruth since she was a Moabite. She wasn't just new at the job, she was new in the area. And matter of fact, though, the Moabites, they weren't just outsiders. At times, they were actually the enemies of Israel. So she's a real outsider. But I think, you know, that kind of explains her response in the next verse. Look what she does in verse 10. So she fell on her face after Boaz said these things. She bowed down to the ground, and she said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes? Wow. She's blown away. She says that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner. She knows that he knows she's not of Israel. She is an outsider and she's asking, why me? You know, have you ever asked the Lord that question? Why me, Lord? Why have I found favor in your eyes? I love Ruth's response here. She was so humble and she was so touched by the kindness of Boaz. Someone said that true kindness is when we serve others when they have nothing they can give back in return. And isn't that what Jesus did for us? You know? Something else we see here. We don't see Ruth asking why so many painful things happen in her life. Why did my first husband have to die? We don't see her complaining or bringing that up at all. Instead, she was asking, why are the good things happening to me? Boy, we could use a grateful heart like that ourselves. You know, a heart that doesn't take all the blessings for granted that God gives us. You know, not acting like we deserve to be blessed or something. And that's kind of a danger as we've been walking with the Lord for quite a while. We might think, well, sure, God blesses me. He's supposed to. I'm his kid. You know, that's really not the right attitude. You know, if we really understood how much of an outsider we were because of our countless sins as we stand before Almighty God, you know, and then to understand his amazing kindness and his acceptance of us, I think we'd find ourselves in the same position as Ruth. You know, we'd fall on our face, we'd bow down, and we'd ask, why me? Why have I found such favor and such kindness from you, O Lord? You know, can you believe that God saved us when you think about it? That he was willing to take our place on that cross? That's amazing when you stop and think about it. Verse 11, and Boaz answered, and he said to her, she's asked these questions, he gives an answer. I don't know if she was ready for this, but Boaz said, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and you have come to a people whom you did not know before. So Boaz lets Ruth know that he's aware of all that she has given up to help her mother-in-law. He knows how much she has sacrificed, left her family, left her homeland, came to a strange place, and she did it for Naomi. He knows that. So we have to ask ourselves that question, what have we given up to follow Christ? You know, have we sacrificed to do that? I know the word sacrifice is kind of a foreign word in our society today. It's a word that isn't even known, I think, to the younger generations. They've been given so much, and I think it's been a disservice to them that we've not passed on the meaning of sacrifice. Do you remember when King David said that he would not offer burnt offerings that cost him nothing? Now that was an amazing heart that truly understood the need for sacrifice. You know, and I guess it's good news, but the way our world is going now, we may all be reintroduced to the terms of sacrifice and doing without. So it may come upon us very quickly, and I really feel for the younger people who maybe have not had to do much of a sacrifice. We've tried to give them as too much, maybe, you know, and taking care of them. But Boaz here, we see that he really respected Ruth for what she had sacrificed in her life for others. And why did Ruth do that? Because she loved her mother-in-law. She did it out of love. That should be the reason for our sacrifice too, for the Lord and for other people. Verse 12, he goes on to say this to Ruth there, the Lord repay you your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. This is cool that Boaz acknowledges that Ruth has come to the shelter of the God of Israel. He's talking about her faith now in the Lord. And he asks the Lord to bless her for all that she did out of her sacrificial love. You know, by the way, I think the Lord loves to bless someone who's willing to do things out of sacrificial love for other people. Verse 13 says, then she said, and she's responding to this, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me. She said, I really appreciate those words you said. And you have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. So Ruth is expressing how thankful she is and appreciating how kindly he treated her, because she's not of Israel. She knows she's an outsider. So she's really thankful for the way he spoke to her. In verse 14, now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed the parched grain to her, which was freshly roasted grain. I bet that stuff was good. And she ate, and she was satisfied. So she had plenty to eat, and it says, and she kept some back. So the vinegar mixture here, it talks about, It was described as kind of a weak wine that was mixed with some olive oil, and it was said to be very cooling. You know, it really cooled you off. So this would be a very refreshing meal that she was invited to. And he's basically asked her to come eat at the table where I'm at and where my workers are. And it's kind of like, you're part of the family. Come on over here and eat with us, you know. And when the Lord calls us to his table at communion, he wants that to be a very refreshing time for us as well. You know, he wants us to just rest in him and be reminded that your sins have been washed away, you know, at the cross. And now you're safely in the new covenant, and it's an everlasting covenant. And the Lord wants us to come and just be refreshed when we do that too. Now, you notice too that Ruth here, it says that she was satisfied. And then she took the extra food home with her for Naomi. We'll find out later on. So she was always thinking of others. You know, the gleanings that she had gotten for that day, they were going to be more than she needed and the family needed to just get by when she gets all the stuff home that she's gathered for the day. And now, on top of that, they also had a meal ready for dinner that evening too. So Lord's really been blessing and blessing and blessing here. And that's the picture he's given us through Boaz as he's taking care of Ruth in a real kind way. And in verse 15, it says, "And when she rose up to glean," now notice this, after the meal, after he had blessed her already, you know, and told the guys, let her get as much as she wants, now he's fed her and she's satisfied, and you're thinking, okay, at this point, I know I'd be saying, let's sit back and maybe bring out the fine cigars or something, you know, and let's just have a great afternoon, you know, but no, Ruth gets up and she goes right back to work. Wow. She didn't take these blessings for granted. I'm just so amazed. And some of you ladies are like this. I know you're tough. You get blessed and you get up and you just keep going back to work. And it's like, wow, I love to see that character. So verse 15 goes on. It says, "When she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and do not reproach her." So he's kind of saying, if she passes you guys up as you're gathering stuff and she gets some, let her go. Don't stop her. Do you see how hard of a worker she must have been? It's like she's going to pass up the workers. And he said, if that happens, just let her do that. Don't stop her. Verse 16, "Also, let grain fall from the bundles purposely," you know, for her. So he said, even let some extra kind of fall off that she can get that too. "Leave it that she may glean and do not rebuke her." So Boaz pulled out all the stops. He told her, his guys, you know, let her take in as much as she wants. Even if she basically almost takes it out of your hands, you know, don't stop her. Let her take it. Even the stuff that's already been wrapped, if she wants some of that, let her have that too. And he even, you know, tells him, let that stuff fall off intentionally by accident, right? That she can get some more. Can you believe how he's going so overboard for her? And do you know that Jesus loves you like that too? The New Testament talks about how deep God's love is for us. We can't even understand it. He really loves you like crazy. In case you forgot that, or you maybe needed to hear that again. Don't believe the enemy when he tries to tell you any different from that. Don't believe it when he says, you know, you barely deserve to be here, so be thankful for scraps that fall off the table. God loves you. He wants to bless you like crazy. He loves you like crazy, you know? Yeah, so verse 17 goes on. "So she gleaned in the field until evening, and she beat out what she had gleaned." So she did the full job, took home the part she was supposed to, and it says it was about an ephah of barley. So she kept working, and she put in a full day's work. She had enough for them for 5 days' worth of food by the time she's done, from what we can see. The ephah here was about a bushel. So she had a whole bushel to carry home. And, you know, Ruth, she works so hard at gleaning here, and she's a very good example for us. You know, when we come to glean from the Word of God, you know, we come to fill our spirit with the blessings that fall from the pages of God's Word, I would hope that we take in as much as we can carry too. And then we should really take it home and apply what we've gleaned to our lives. It goes on to verse 18. "Then she took it up, and she went into the city." And those are just a few words, but you think about this. She took up the bushel and she started walking. And she had to walk all the way back home, you know. So this is a job to do this stuff in their day. She didn't get to jump in her Porsche or her Ferrari and go home, you know. She had to hoof it. And there were some hills she had to go up to get there too, from what we know of the terrain. So it says she took it up, she went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. I bet you Naomi's guys got pretty big. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. So she gave her, somebody called it the doggy bag she brought home, saying, this is leftover from lunch, and there's enough to feed us for the meal here too. So you don't have to worry about that. So Naomi realizes that what Ruth brought home was very much more than what she expected. You know, so she knows that someone must have really shown her favor. And now she wants to find out what happened. So verse 19, her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today? Where did you go work to come home with all of this stuff, you know? And where did you work? She said, blessed be the one who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, and she said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. Well, that brought Naomi's antennas up, right? Yeah, so verse 20, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, this man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives through her husband's side there. So Naomi was praising the Lord here, if you notice. That shows a real change in her attitude toward the Lord. Remember when she came back to the land, she was pretty bitter. I left full and I came back empty. God did this to me. Well, she was the prodigal coming home. We talked about that. So that really well should be expected when that happens. But now she's seen the hand of God, the blessing here, and she has to praise the Lord. It's really cool. You know, God does this stuff for you and me. He'll bless us sometimes when we're not looking. And all you can do is be humbled and crushed and say, thank you, Lord. I know you still love me. Thank you, Lord. I forgot to say thanks today, but I sure want to say thanks. So, yeah, the Lord's amazing. So it goes on there in verse 21. After Naomi had said, this is our relative, Ruth the Moabitess, again, her name tag there, said, he also said to me, you shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. So Naomi here, she finds out that Ruth was saying, you know, that this isn't a one-time deal. This is going to happen till the end of the harvest. He said, stay here. I'm going to take care of your needs. Everything will be met. So she's just amazed by the kindness of Boaz. Now, as far as this Boaz being that close relative, Leviticus 25 talks about the situation. It's the kinsman redeemer. And if you've read this before, studied this before, you know, that's kind of the title of this guy, Boaz, and their family line. That's his role. And Lord talked about that in Leviticus 25. And basically, he was saying this person would be the one who is the next of kin who could buy back the property for a close member of the family of the same tribe there. The Lord wanted to stay the property to stay in the tribes and their family line. So if you were poor, you needed to have some help, and you had to sell part of your land just to make it, the Lord had a way where your nearest relative could come back and pay for the land to get it back in the family. You were going to get it back at the year of Jubilee anyway, but if it was something you could get back before then, a loving relative wanted to take care of this who was close to you, then he was a kinsman redeemer. That was something he could do. Another thing that he was allowed to do was to marry the widow of the closest kin to make sure that family line would keep going too. So if you lost your husband and there was no kids yet, you don't have a son with the dad's name, there's a problem there that the family line might end. So the next nearest of kin, he was to be the kinsman redeemer. He was supposed to marry her, and the first son they had would have the brother's name to that. So that would make sure that the family line goes on. So Naomi here, she explains that Boaz was the kinsman redeemer for him. That's what she's getting across. And we'll see more of that later on down the road. We're not going to see that much more today. But it goes on then in verse 22. Naomi had said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women and that people do not meet you in any other field. So Naomi was saying, Ruth, you need to stay right where Boaz told you to, because that'll be the safest place to be. And what a lesson for us, you know. Once we find Jesus, we have other people that come along, other brothers and sisters in Christ that tell us, you need to stay right there, right next to Jesus, because that's the safest place to be in this world. And it is. Our world is falling apart. It's crumbling. It's going to be crushed one day. But the safest place you can be now and forever is next to Jesus, because he's the only thing stable in this life that's not going to change, that's not going to fall apart. So hold on to him. Verse 23 goes on and says, so she stayed close by the young women of Boaz. She listened to Boaz. She listened to the wisdom of Naomi, and she did what she was told. She stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dealt with her mother-in-law. She took care of her. So this harvest period, they had the barley harvest come first, usually be a couple months, and then there'd be a break for about a month and a half, and then the next harvest would come in, the wheat harvest. And she was saying, basically, I've got a job guaranteed to the very end of that time. So that's about a six-month period. Now, the other side of this, we want to make sure we understand, too, this wasn't a quick overnight romance between Ruth and Boaz. This was a six-month period where she came to work there. Boaz, again, I'm sure, spoke kindly through her this whole time, and the relationship was growing and developing through all of that time, because Ruth was going to be there to work all of the way through. So the lesson for us, again, is that we need to stay close to Jesus and his word, and we just need to keep loving God and loving other people. And that means that we should be serving other people. We should be helping others, you know, and doing good for folks. And you think about this as we close here. We're going to pray that the Lord helps us to be very diligent like Ruth, to be very faithful, and also to be very compassionate like Boaz was, and showed that side of it as well. And we've got a lot to be thankful for as you just think about how the Lord has taken such good care of us. So let's pray. Father, we come to you now. And Father, I love this story. I love the way you show us Ruth and her diligence, her coming to you, her trusting you, her obedience to you. And Lord, what an example for us. Lord, if we're here today and maybe we've grown weary in serving you and serving other people, I pray to the Lord today that you just revitalize us. You'd bring us alive again. Lord, encourage us that we need to keep going on. We need to keep loving you and loving other people. And Lord, as we see the great compassion that Boaz had upon her, we thank you, Lord. That's a picture of how compassionate you've been toward us. Lord, we were the outsider. We were the sinner. We are the ones who had no right to claim anything from you. And yet, Lord, you went after us. You came to that day where you brought us to truth about Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for us. He paid for our sins. Our sins are washed away in him, and you raised him from the dead. And Father, we just give you pure thanks for that, Lord, and we praise you for it. Father, if someone is here today and they haven't received Jesus yet, Lord, for whatever reason, I pray today, Lord, help them to get past all that and just say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life. And Lord, it's the safest place to be. It's such a blessed place to be. I pray you'd help them to make that decision. Father, as we have loved ones that come to mind who need Jesus, we pray, Lord, please continue to go after them. Don't stop. We pray you continue to draw them to yourself, that the day will come where they will bow their knee to you as well and say, why me, Lord? Why have you been so good to me? And they receive Christ. Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you for this great story and your word. And we pray you'd help us to glean these things, take them home with us, apply them to our life. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to stand for the final song. I think the Lord just wants you to rest in him today, you know, that he loves you so much. He's done everything for us. He's given us everything we need in life. And for us, it's just to get out of the way and let the Lord work through us. You know, so this week, be blessed and know that the Lord's with you. If you're in Christ, you've been born again. You're a new creation in him. And just live out that life of Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, so much for the great love you've shown us. Thank you for pouring so much into our lives. We belong to you, Lord. And we just want to rest in the fact that we're in that new covenant. You made it for us, Lord. It's an everlasting covenant. We praise you. This week, Lord, I ask you to bless each one. We pray for those who couldn't be with us. We ask you to strengthen them, help them, encourage them, Lord. If they're facing something, please give them the strength, Lord, to just get through that. If they need healing, Lord, we pray you touch them. And Lord, you're so good to us. You bless us over and over. We just want to thank you and give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you guys. Have a great week with Jesus.